You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It's hour number three and hour one. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com, has a piece talking about Michael Thomas. Does his contract coming up after next year, John Forgade, make the Saints have to think about free agency this year and how you spend? We touched on that. In hour number two, we spoke with head coach Blake Dean of the UNO Privateers. 6-1, beat my Golden Eagles, the 23rd ranked Golden Eagles, last night in Maestri Field. To go 6-1, we chatted with him. This hour, Daniel Salerson over in Los Angeles. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Shoot around taking place just a little bit ago. Pels taking on the Lakers. We'll get into that here in a quick sec. First, let us welcome you to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more about what that camera Wednesday, hump day, is that what it is?
It is. Shock G and the Digital Underground, head coach Sean of the Peyton, the camel. John, did you know the name of the camel was Caleb?
I did not know that.
Now you do.
Now I know.
Whenever you see that commercial, they've been playing it a lot.
No, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. It's a funny commercial.
It's good to see you today, man. Yeah. It's a nice day. The weather kind of
beautiful. Yeah. Nice ride over. It was, late last night and early this morning. It didn't look good.
Words of wisdom. Peace and happiness forever. Are you going tonight to see the crew of Knicks? 3,000 plus ladies taken to the streets.
No, I'm going to enjoy myself with one lady tonight. That'd be my mom for her birthday dinner. We're going to take her to dinner. The family's going to take her out to have her. Could have picked anywhere. And
where's she going? Where
she wants to go to Cheesecake Factory. I'm like, all right. I was like ready to call Desi. Go sit down and have a nice good steak. But she's going to save me a large
Desi
amount.
Desi opened up a steakhouse in Metairie now.
Yep. But she's going to save me a lot of money tonight just going to Cheesecake.
They do give you a lot of food there.
They do. But
it's a good value.
Man, and that cheesecake at the end of the night. Stick a candle in it and tell her happy birthday and watch
feel
me.
Feel free to, while you're there, to look up a deal for us.
I need to
go,
do that.
Go hang out at Cheesecake Factory. We'll do a
that
show.
That would be a good, you know, I'm just sitting at the,
on
the,
my stomach there. Yep.
On a patio and,
interviews that show. I'll just eat cheesecake.
Every one of our shows,
do have a nice patio.
End it on
there.
A cheesecake.
Yeah, we could do that.
That would be, you know what? You just put a thought in my mind.
John Forcade working tonight while taking his mom out to birthday
I will be
dinner.
Working on another spot for us for the
there
season next
go.
Year.
Jimmy, thanks for joining us here on the Sports Hangover, man. What you got for us today?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, real quick, quick plug tonight for UNO basketball. Mm-hmm. They're playing the best team in the Southland Conference. So if you don't go to the parades, come on out. We've come a long way since Katrina, and we're second place to the best team, and the best team's coming tonight. So
who's the best team? Who do they play?
Sam Houston State, and they're like 17-1 in conference.
Wow.
UNO, yeah, UNO's right on their tail, and the crowds are getting bigger every year. We're not there yet. We're not LSU, but I hope some people come out to the game tonight. But look, two quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
The situation with Ingram. It's the most replaceable position in the NFL, as they say, the running back. You can get one cheat and get an undrafted guy.
It is.
Then again, Drew Brees, the window's closing. Obviously, Ingram and Kamara have camaraderie. He's asking, $5 million a year? What do you guys think? Should we stick with him, or is it a situation where the window's closing on the Brees era and we should just pay the man, or is he easily replaceable, number one? And as far as Alvin Gentry's concerned, I'm hearing the last couple weeks since the whole Davis trade demands and Demps getting fired or not answering a phone call, whether that was intentional or not, that Gentry handled the media well. And I'm seeing everybody the last couple weeks say Gentry has handled this situation so well because Demps didn't. He answered the questions properly after, in post-game interviews and whatnot. Really has nothing to do with X's and O's and wins, but and his record as a coach is not that great everywhere he's been, but now people are saying he deserves another year because of that, whether that be as a head coach or maybe in the front office since Gale likes him so much. So what do y'all think of that? I've been hearing that the last couple of weeks. He's handled the media well.
Right.
And I don't know what that has to do with being a good coach. So let me know what you think.
All right, well, let's address the Mark Ingram thing first, and we'll get into the NBA talk because I definitely have some sound from Gentry that I'd like to play for you as well.
What is Ingram's salary this past? What
was it? It was 4 years, $16 million, so he had four per year.
Okay, and now he wants five per year? He just wants another bump to a million?
I don't know what it is that he wants. If that's the case, I think that's a very workable deal. Yes. I know the reports were that they were going to talk this week to try to get something done. I think the Roman Harper – Malcolm Jenkins situation from a couple years ago where they cut back. Look, let's be honest. Before everyone starts going, yeah, the Saints messed that up.
Mm-hmm.
They were the two for every year. I always have a show of who we're putting on the bus and shipping them to the airport. They were Roman Harper was the bus driver.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
And the guy behind pushing it.
Yes. And Jenkins was the attendant. I mean, fans couldn't wait to get those two guys out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, anytime a tight end caught a pass, it was Roman Harper's fault, right? I mean, Malcolm Jenkins could make a play at safety, but Roman Harper could not cover tight end.
And let me say this.
Go ahead. Aneurysms when Roman Harper covered tight end.
And didn't I say that some people need to go somewhere else
yeah.
and get a better
– Did they not rehabilitate not only their image but have success
elsewhere? Yeah, but Roman not as much as Jenkins.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And so that's all I'm saying. Some people need a new environment. I understand it. Now, far as back to Ingram and the situation –
But to finish my point, what I'm trying to get at, though, is the void of leadership. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton's talked about what he overlooked was how much leadership they brought to the locker room. And that's why I'm saying that I tie it into this Ingram situation. I wonder if they don't remember that in that, let's be honest, Mark Ingram is Alvin Kamara's big brother.
Okay.
I mean, I can't remember the last time they did an interview alone, right? I mean, after games. Yeah. I know you may not think, you know, it's a big deal, but if – when Alvin Kamara's tweeting last week, pay the man, you know what I'm saying? He's like, I might want to keep him happy. And now, again, it's years, and it's how much.
He's been around a long time
that's
now.
Do you give a running back another four-year deal? Do you do two at five?
I can do two at five. And if it doesn't work out and you say, okay, and like the gentleman called in, you can go get running backs. You can find somebody. Now, maybe the way that the league has changed, you know, you don't need a star running back that's going to get 25, 30 carries.
And he's not going to be the butt.
And with Sean Payton's offense, it's 12 for you and 8 for me, or 15 this week and 6 for me. It's a combination of things.
Jimmy brought it up too, the Drew Brees situation. I mean, I do think part of the problem that made games more difficult for them and some losses towards the end of the season, the lack of the run game. Now, again, we can go back to, was it the offensive line? I hear you. But there were some game plans, John, you and I. They didn't try to run the football. You know,
correct.
And Mark Ingram was, it's like they gave him the night off in Dallas.
If it's not too expensive to bring him back, and Mark Ingram knows my career, there's no guarantee Mark Ingram is going to go somewhere else and get big money and be the star player or have the production or even get the playoffs. If he's doing it for the money, then you go do it for the money. If you want an opportunity to play in a Super Bowl and get a ring, I would stay in New Orleans. You're going to make give me a little bit extra up front and then, you know, my base could be, you know, whatever.
That's a good point.
Give me a little extra up front. Yeah. I'll take the base. I'm here for three or four more years.
Done.
And that's it. Yeah, I think they do get done, to be honest.
I do. I think Mark likes it here. I think the team likes him here, wants him here. Drew wants him here.
He ain't got many years
Kamara
left
wants
now.
Him here. And that's what I'm saying. As a running back, so I do get the other side of it where
if you can get
as much money as I can get.
If you get 10 years in the NFL, you've done a phenomenal job as a running back. So he's at, eight now right now? He's at 8 years or 9 years? He's at the end of his, you know, for a running back. I know he's got a lot of
– team option, you know, three or four. You know what I'm saying? Like you can
– And you backload it. You're like, okay – you hit this, you hit that. I'm going to give you another $3-4 million. That's it. Okay. That's how you do it. You hook him up.
I think there's different ways you can do it, but I do think they find a way to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
I do. I just think he means a lot to this team.
I do.
You know, one way, shape, or form.
They can do it. They'll figure it out.
Now, to the other part of what Jimmy was saying about Alvin Gentry.
Okay.
Does he deserve another year or not. I'll say this. I have been saying that we can absolutely have a discussion on X's and O's. You develop players. Is this the right way to play this and that? You look at the win losses. And I can, and I have on my notepad here in weeks past, jot it down, not excuses, but reasons to probably why you can argue for that and against that. What I think you can argue is how he's handled himself in this nonsense for the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
He's been incredible.
All right.
He's been incredible by that. I'm not saying that offers him his job. I'm not, but because it's not just to the Pelicans. It's 29 other teams in the NBA. I don't know if they'd give him an opportunity. I don't know if they like him. But my point is this. I can't think of very many other instances that he's had to speak on behalf of a franchise, quote-unquote, player. Speak on behalf of ownership. Speak on behalf of general managers. Speak on behalf of the state of the league in the NBA without really being able to say anything or even knowing. And I think it's been a bit of a joke on how they've treated it. And I will say is this. Before we want to start saying this guy can't coach or maybe he shouldn't get deserving, I'm just going to say this. The team plays hard.
Mm-hmm.
The team plays hard. One of the discussions we've had the last couple of days is how hard they play when Anthony Davis is not on the court. So does that system that everybody was questioning not work then? Because if they're almost a winning games or winning games without AD, then clearly his systems work, right? It's about effort and energy. And I've always said this. Last year when the guys wanted to play defense, same stuff, they were one of the top defensive teams in the NBA. When they run his system, moving the basketball, driving and kicking and penetrating, they're one of the top scoring teams in the NBA. They started out the season, 140 points. So when they run what it is, this is why I keep saying in the NBA, you judge a coach by how he can communicate to his players and get the team to go do that. Okay. So I can see both sides to it. I really honestly can.
And to play the other side of the fence. Sure. Yeah, all right, here's my take. What are the first thing that they're going to do with the Pelicans? Find him a what? General manager.
Correct.
What usually happens when
what's his own head coach?
Correct. Absolutely. You got a head coach already here. Mm-hmm. You bring in a GM who doesn't really. And so what normally happens is you got it. And after 1 year, they pretty much say, we got to get rid of the guy. Mm-hmm. Or even midway through the season, they get rid of the guy. Right. So here's my take. We've been through a lot here over the last few years. I've met Gentry, nice guy, nothing against the guy. Is the NBA material head coach? I don't think he is. I mean, that's great, all getting in front of cameras and talking for what all transpired here. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest. If you're going to bring in a brand new GM who makes the decision on what you're going to do for a head coach, let's clean house. Let's, AD's gone. Your GM's gone. You get a new head coach. Clean it all out. Get some fresh eyes, ears, go a different route. You've been here before. You've done okay. 1 year, I believe they made a playoff with Gentry as the head coach. And AD hasn't done anything but say, I went out of here. Demps has screwed his whole operation up for the last few years. It's time to clean house. Let's get some fresh faces and go fresh. It's hard to have a GM here knowing that I got a coach here who I did not bring in, don't know much about him. And if it's, if it's 25 games in the season, all of a sudden you're 10 and 15 or you're 4 and, 17, 18, 9, whatever it may be, then you fire a guy. Now guess what happens? You got to start all over again. Clean house, freshen it, coat of paint, get rid of it. That's my take.
Look, and that's what I'm saying. I get that. I think he understands that too. This is why I've been saying, I think in the last couple of weeks, how he's handled this has probably helped him in a future to where another franchise will say, I don't know if it's a head coach or not. Mm-hmm. But definitely to put on a staff or something.
Yeah, he's not.
Guys handle it.
He's done very well as an assistant coach as well.
I just think you start fresh from get-go because, and it's not his fault on this aspect of it, to your point.
No, it's not.
You have to allow the next GM, president of basketball ops, whatever you want to call them, to do their vision.
Well, I don't think
whatever their vision is. I don't know what it is.
You've been around. You know this. GMs don't just say, I'm a GM.
Never worked.
They're watching every player, how he coaches. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are – he's looking at the players from Gentry's perspective. He's scouting and watching all his players. Guess what the GM guys are doing? They're watching him and his players. So if I'm a GM, say, it's okay, but I think we got somebody else I want to go after.
Yeah. Coaches in the NFL, when they come in, you have to keep the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, or vice versa, right? I mean, it never works that way.
I mean, look what happened in Minnesota. They kept a guy there, and then next year they fired him. Oh, they thought he was all everything, and now he was
Never works that way. So it just from it's that
nothing
aspect.
Against, it's nothing against you know right. them personally. It's just it's a business decision that, you know, whoever's going to come in as a GM or whoever's the president, however you want to look at it, you know, if they're going to give him the authority to go hire a coach, let him hire a coach.
It'll be interesting. Let's hear what Gentry has to say about this game. Also, what's going on in the Lakers and now Celtic camps? Ooh. I mean, it's really starting to make me feel like, you know what?
Kyrie Irving.
New York, come through for us, buddy. Because if I'm just being honest, we're trying to get somebody from Boston later this week
can,
on the
can
show.
Can you see the New York if Knicks with AD, Durant, and Irving?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's going to be a possibility because if I'm Boston right now, I'm not trading Jason Tatum.
No. No.
I'm not.
No.
I'm just being honest. I mean, I'm looking at it from their perspective. Kyrie Irving, I'm going to play you something that Brad Stevens said last night following the loss in Toronto, and you'll see what I'm getting at here.
All right.
Okay? And then all of a sudden, all of us are going to become Knicks fans.
You think NBA, you think of New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah, well, they haven't won since 74. I wasn't born.
No, you weren't. So, I watched them. You know,
that's the last time they won a championship.
I remember Reed.
Remember, though, it's about winning for Anthony Davis.
Yes.
It's about,
yeah,
it's
right.
About,
yeah.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's a brand new year at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Hurry in for a great deal on Ram at Ram Truck Month. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram trucker van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Slam Jam Band, baby!
Hey, Dick, what are you doing, warming up for the game?
I call all the games I watch, even when I can't get tickets. It helps bring that stadium atmosphere to wherever I'm watching from. Oh, the diaper dandy does it again.
Come on, Dick, save it for the air. We've got a game. And check out Vivid Seats. It's the easiest way to get all the tickets to the games you want to go to.
Vivid Seats for the win, baby. Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats.
Golftech's March Major Sale is now in full swing. If you're a golfer looking for major improvements with your swing or clubs, get to Golftech and save up to 20% in March. Get started with a swing evaluation or tech fit club fitting for only $100. Your local Golftech is in Metairie on 17th Street behind Lakeside Mall. Visit golftec.com.
Swing better. Play better. Golftech.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Even in my own home, I had my own designated space to smoke. If I think about it, it really was like I was punishing myself. A friend of mine said, why wouldn't you just try the Juul? And so I went out and I bought one. The idea of going back to smoking, I couldn't even imagine doing that. I don't think anyone, including myself, thought that I could switch.
Carolyn made the switch October 2016. Make the switch at JUUL.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Escúchame, this is Dan Le Batallón, ESPN Radio.
I want to give you a sneak peek into the inner workings of the mind of Roy Bellamy, who every once in a while, just out of nowhere, lobs some sort of race-related grenade in my direction, some news story he found on Twitter. I'm just sitting here minding my own business, trying to ward off the sausage fingers and hot takes of Stu Gatz. And then Roy comes in here and gives me a perfectly valid opinion on something that we should be talking about that's race-related.
Yes, he's always steering the ship in that direction. Yesterday, you might have heard a SportsCenter update that included something about Colin Kaepernick. I was like, Kaepernick, we're there. Okay.
We are still there, yeah. Mike.
We ain't leaving.
We're still here.
The Dan Levitard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Oh, the many, many storylines, John 4K, tonight as the Pelicans take on the Lakers at Staples Center in Los Angeles. Alvin Gentry's usage of AD, not playing him in the fourth quarter, you poor thing. Did you hear the show yesterday? Did you listen?
You can die. No. Okay. I was on the coast doing my deal.
Yeah, sure you did. That's fine. Anthony Davis, this was after, you know, the game earlier in the week in which he didn't play in the fourth quarter against Philly.
I mean, especially in the fourth. You know, I've never, you know, been a guy who sat in the fourth quarter, you know, and so it's a little tough, but I sit on the bench and cheer for these guys, and you know, they did a good job tonight.
Can't contribute in the fourth quarter. So, Alvin Gentry.
I mean, when he was playing, he was getting 3 points and 0 points and 7 points. And then leaving at halftime with a faked injury, but he did show up in the All-Star game.
See, John, somebody that's had 20 surgeries, I'm shocked you didn't recognize the mother of all contusions.
Oh, I missed that. He had a contusion.
He had a grave contusion.
But he couldn't stick around?
It's a grave contusion. Could have been season-ending, that contusion.
Oh, he could have.
You know what a contusion is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. What is it? It's a bruise.
It's a bruise. Deep bruise. Contusion.
Well, like I
not
said.
Not a bruise. But, contusion makes it sound
deeper.
You have
deeper. Like grade one, grade two, grade three.
This was
grave.
Grave. Didn't even make the could've one,
lost
two,
him
or three.
That night.
Could have lost him.
Could have lost him that night. Okay. Yeah. For at least 3 hours. Where we did lose him that night.
Yeah, we did lose for 3 hours. Well, but he showed up. For that All-Star game with ready to rock and roll. And
hey, a couple of three-pointers in 5 minutes.
That, huh?
Then,
my arm.
It's incredible how that happened. Guys, launching threes, nothing but net. And then, oh, 5 minutes is all I can play.
Well, he was auditioning for LeBron and Magic.
I like that hat. It's the Comandante.
I gave you. Didn't you got? Don't you
I
have?
I don't think I got that one.
Yes, you did.
It's in black.
It's in black.
Ah, I do. I have it in my car.
You had the black painter's cap.
There it is.
If you don't,
is that
let
what
me
it
know.
Is? I call it a Comandante hat.
Yeah, I call it painter's cap.
Painter's hat?
It's
well, it's two
Castro.
Completely different, you
a Castro.
Know.
Castro, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Comandante is, you know.
I know. I didn't know. Joey, you don't have one, huh? Okay, get you one.
Yeah.
Only work here.
Well, I'm the one who had to go out and get him.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. Alvin Gentry, going to use AD the same way tonight?
Pretty much, I think, you know, pretty much. You know, he's probably not going to play, and we hadn't decided which one, but, you know, it's back-to-back, so we'll kind of make a decision on that. But I think it's going to be pretty much what's been happening, you know.
He doesn't want to say anything. No, well, he doesn't know. I know what he'd like to say.
He's waiting for the NBA to tell him what to do.
Right. I mean, there's like, he'd like to say, I don't want to play. But I don't know.
But how can the NBA sit there and tell you, we're going to fine you $100,000 a game if you don't play him?
Competitive balance.
It's amazing because the guy said, I don't want to be here. Well, right there would mean that you've already broken your contract.
You know. It's tough being AD.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It really is.
It really honestly
it's
is.
Really tough.
Alvin Gentry, the questions continued on not playing Anthony Davis late in games. Because, Coach, you only lost by one to Philly. I mean, if he plays in that fourth quarter, John, they probably win.
I don't know. He only scored 3 points.
No, he had 21 in 18 minutes against Philly.
Yeah, but before that, a couple games, he had a couple. You know, he only had three.
He was tired.
Tired.
Well, that's what they listed him the last game he didn't play. They said he was out due to rest. He was tired.
Oh, okay. I was waiting to see if he had a contusion. He can't play because he had a deep bruise.
Remember, It's a grave contusion.
Grave, grave.
Okay.
January 4th of this year, my client.
Exactly. You don't know. Something tells me that's not how Rich Paul communicates, though.
Ooh, that was Rich Paul?
No, that's definitely not Rich Paul.
Is he related to Chris Paul?
Rich Paul?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Alvin Gentry on playing AD late in games?
No, I think it's a situation where you give the young guys an opportunity to grow, and, you know, that's important for us as far as moving forward. No, I never considered putting him back in there. You know, I wanted to see, you know, Frank and Kendrick and, you know, Chet and those guys and see what they could do.
Chet Diallo's been playing really well as of late, you know. And again, that's the main reason, John. Look, aside from just the obvious,
right?
You don't want to play with us, and you don't want to be with us, and you don't want to go to the playoffs with us, all right? Right. Didn't want to do that, which I think is just. I've said this enough on the show. I think it's disingenuous to the people you walk into that locker room and try to communicate with, because those people still want to go. To those people, it matters. To those people that haven't been, like Kendrick Williams and others, to the playoff, it matters to them. They'd love to go
to
the postseason.
Job.
And you, right.
Their
and
job.
It's just, I mean, it's one thing for you to say, hey, look, at the end of the year, we didn't go far
postseason?
Enough or
Is that
something.
You say postseason?
We said it in January. There were four games out of the playoffs.
Okay.
In January. You had plenty of time to come back.
Like the Lakers?
That's a different story. That
well, we'll
is a
find
different
out,
story.
We'll find out tonight with, you know, with the Lakers.
Well, and remember.
Maybe they might get all routed up because their new future player is going to be in the house.
Pardon the interruption on AD and the Pels, Wilbon Kornheiser.
Hi, Wilbon. Are you okay with the way the Pelicans are handling Anthony Davis's playing time?
Can I be brutally honest?
Please do.
I don't give a damn about what the Pelicans are doing with or without Anthony Davis, because they're irrelevant now.
Right.
The Pelicans are trying to lose and get in the sweepstakes for Zion. We know that. I understand it. By the way, it's no crime. That's fine for them. But what they do with Anthony Davis is no longer important. Anthony Davis is not relevant anymore until July 1, when I guess, you know, you get to free agency and we'll have all this talk out there again. He won't be a free agent.
That's right.
But we'll have talk about trades and other free agents, and his name will be in the mix. But, Tony, the Pelicans and Anthony Davis don't matter to the rest of this NBA season in any way.
So the great drama of the first half of the season was when Rich Paul and LeBron James and Magic Johnson decided they're going to make this big move. They're going to offer everybody they've got to New Orleans, and they're going to get Anthony Davis. When that was stopped, when that didn't happen,
see,
that's pretty
exit
much
stage
it.
Left.
That's
Tony,
much
this
it.
Is a shock because Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, they had the personnel moves. They didn't keep Rondo. They didn't keep Boogie. They were so good last year, and they looked like they were so close to being a threat that Anthony Davis could stay there and contend, and now they are once again irrelevant.
Everybody knows that he's not going to be there.
Right.
And so
he's going to play token minutes.
Are you playing him for betting purposes? Are you saying it's the integrity of the game? Because if it's the integrity of the game, then you got to play him 35 to 40. What are you doing? What is the point? Tell me.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're done. Yeah. They're done.
So are we.
And we're done. Back to you.
I'm really close to being done to. I'll say this. My level of respect for a lot of these national guys has gone down from this
big
aspect
time.
Of it because, John, that was some of the silliest 2.5 minutes I've heard from Wilbon.
Yeah,
who, by the way, was and has been a part of the NBA show.
He's.
Because let's just go back through like the fact checking. I feel like this is what happens after a political opponent does something, right? Fact check. How can you make the statement the Pelicans are trying to purposely tank and not win games? Okay. They have played harder. There's columns by people that cover the team, which, by the way, Stan Van Gundy, Jeff Van Gundy, believes there's no one that covers this team. Like, it's dumbfounding to me how outside of the city people feel that we don't even cover the team. We don't care. We don't show up. We just want to see AD play. Like, you couldn't be further from the truth.
Truth, correct.
Okay? This team plays harder. There's minutes. Like, there's statistics that show when AD goes and takes a seat, other players pick up their games. They're 2-1 without Anthony Davis playing 20 minutes, more than 20 minutes or 20 minutes. They're 1-3. They lose with Anthony Davis. So to make the statement you're trying to lose is erroneous.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, if you're referring to, well, when they sit AD, they're trying to lose. Secondly, if I'm trying to lose, I'd have traded Jrue Holiday. I'd have traded Julius Randle.
Right.
I'd have traded Jahlil Okafor. I'd have traded anybody that's contributing. That's a great way to tank. Have bums on the floor.
Like Philadelphia.
Right, exactly. They kept getting rid of players that weren't any good, or they got players that weren't good, and they just, I mean, they're bad. You have bad lineups help you tank without tanking, right? That's not what the Pelicans are doing. These guys are actually trying to win. Right. I mean, you're seeing it. So
and also,
it's just erroneous to me. And then for them to say it's irrelevant, John, they're playing a team tonight that's trying to make the playoffs. They're not irrelevant. Mm. Because, again, Michael, if you watch 10 seconds of the game, they're going to be playing teams that are trying to get in the playoffs, teams that are trying to get in their standings. And if you're playing a team that isn't trying to tank and trying to win, they do become relevant because they can play the role of spoiler this year.
And he never mentioned one time the $100,000 fine if you don't play AD or keep AD
it's
around.
Just, but that's my problem that I have. These are handsomely paid gentlemen doing a national show at 5:30 Eastern. So people at the airport, people at a bar, people at a hotel, people at their homes watch this and they think the Pels are this. And that's what bothers me about this. That's why I play it. I play it so you can hear it because this guy called them irrelevant. This guy said, they're not.
No.
Technically, they're not. They're the role of the spoiler because they got a team that actually won't quit.
I bet he's never been to a Pelicans game.
Just not incredible here to me. It just honestly is. Sports Hangover continues next with Daniel Salison. He's in LA for tonight's game. We'll talk to him next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's Mardi Gras time, and Joe's Septic Contractors would like to let everyone know that there is still time to call in your orders for portable toilets and hand wash stations. You can order 2, 3, 6, 10, and 18-stall restroom trailers. From everyone at Joe's Septic Contractors, have a happy and safe Mardi Gras. Call 985-632-5592 or visit joesseptic.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Do it big.
To the trail. Okafor, who hammers a right-hand dunk and draws a foul on the play.
Picks it up, shoots for three. Good, good, good. Jrue Holiday.
Hi, this is Sean Kelly. Join Daniel Salison and me as the Pelicans take on the Los Angeles Lakers Wednesday at 9:30
on ESPN Radio, New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Ah, yes. Tonight, nothing like a little basketball. Daniel Salison, Pels Radio Network. There's a little color with Sean Kelly. Staples Center tonight, Pels and Lakers. Oh, Daniel, how many pages of notes do you have or just sheets of paper on storylines going into this one today? How are you, man?
I'm good, and I've run out of pieces of paper, Gus. I have to go to the store and get some more. I feel like it's a novel that I've written for tonight's game, but we're ready to go.
I'll say this. You weren't on hold, and I just played PTI yesterday on AD and the Pels and how they're using them and Wilbon just – look, I think what's difficult, Daniel, in our point or where we are with what we do is we watch a lot of these people nationally and we've respected what they've done and we use a lot of it for news and talk about it. But I'm going to ask you this on a personal level. Have you been baffled by just how far off people outside of the area have covered this team? I mean, Wilbon sitting there going, look, this team didn't do what they needed to by not re-signing Boogie. Completely left out. He tore his Achilles and nobody else offered him a deal. He let, you know, then he brings in Rondo, who literally this week there's stories out of LA that he's a problem. You know, he goes on and on how they're irrelevant. Nobody cares. They're trying to lose when they don't play him, which it's not factual. They're 2-1 when AD doesn't play. I'm baffled. And it's got to, like, you've got to watch a lot of these reports and just go, do they even watch basketball that's played with the Pelicans?
I actually just stopped watching, Gus. It's very simple, and it's a shame because you have these national places, you know, that have these shows, and they focus in on the Anthony Davis situation, but they haven't really been around the team. And no, they don't watch their games and see the guys like Drew Holiday playing, Elfrid Payton playing well right now, Shaq Diallo balling out. And there's the same people that say that this is all the Pelicans' fault for them not taking the trade with the Los Angeles Lakers. And it just baffles me that they think that Pelicans should be bullied because they didn't take the first offer that was given to them by Anthony Davis. He has a year and a half left on his contract, and that's certainly not the case. So it is frustrating, and I try to tell people to not really look into all that, what the national media is saying, because they are so far off that it really doesn't matter what they have to say. It's just all talk for them. And just really focus on the local guys, you know, like Andrew Lopez, Will Guillory, Scott Fishman has done such a good job, you on your show, guys that have been around the team, and guys that have watched the team all year long really know the situation and really know what's going on. So honestly, I just tell people not to watch it because it has gotten to the point where I can't even turn on the TV and really focus on the NBA show just because of how far off they are.
In Los Angeles, Daniel Salerson, Pels Radio Network, going to call the game tonight. You know, one of the things, Daniel, is that, like I said, it's just frustrating from that aspect. It's just that it's almost like you don't watch it. You know, it's just so easy to say, well, they don't want to play him, so there you go. They don't play hard. And Daniel, if you've watched, I mean, that Philly game, you can't make that a certain. If you look at the games that they won over the weekend and things like that, that's just not the case. And you know what? I give kudos to Daniel, the fans that are actually at the Smoothie King Center. You can feel their enthusiasm. They want to see these guys play, and you've gotten to see a guys with opportunities to stand out. Guys like Shaq Diallo's had a nice stretch lately, hadn't he?
I think the fans appreciate the fact that this team has not mailed it in. Easily with 20 games to go, if you're a team that is, you know, like a Phoenix Suns or Knicks are, you know, won 18, 17 games, I'm not saying they're mailing it in, but as we get closer and closer to the end of the season, you're going to start seeing these teams that are just kind of ready for it to be over.
Right.
And this is the complete opposite for the Pelicans team. You would think they were pretty much battling for a playoff spot, even though they're not mathematically eliminated, pretty much going to be a needle in the haystack to try to get into the playoffs. But you have this team that is, you have these role players, as you mentioned, that are either fighting for more minutes next season with the Pels or fighting for another NBA job or just fighting to stay in this league. And a guy like Shaq Diallo, who's year number three, trying to prove himself. And now everyone's like, well, what's going on with Shaq? And a lot of it is his playing time. He's finally playing 25, 30 minutes, something that he's never done before, and he's making the most of it. So, yes, it's great that the fans are still coming out to watch this team. And I think they appreciate the fact that this team is not mailing it in with 20 games in. It's made these games fun to watch.
And Daniel, I want to bring up something that's interesting, too, because John and I were kind of talking about it. We had a caller, Jimmy. We were talking about Gentry, the job he's done. Does he earn more time coming up, the new GM to come? And look, and that's what it is. But what I was been making the point this week is, too, because it's easy to say, where's been Kendrick Williams? Where, you know, why has Shaq not gotten to play time? Look at Frank Jackson out there. I guess what I said earlier this week was this, Daniel, see if you agree with me on this. When you operated under the way you were before AD made the decision or announced it, you operated on eggshells is the way I looked at it. I think the game was covered differently. The team was, what I mean, locally and everyone, right? I mean, when the Pels had a bad loss, oh, see, AD's going to leave. I mean, when you have that pressure, it's like we don't operate in a marriage or in a work environment where you do one thing bad, it's I'm leaving you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yep. So when they go on a 2-game losing streak, and I think you and I have had this conversation before, it's covered like a 12-game losing streak because you're worried this will be the tipping point that Anthony Davis leaves. So when you operate like that, if I'm Gentry, I'm trying to A, keep my job. I know I have to win now to keep AD happy. I don't have time to see if Shaq can play. I don't have time to see if Jaleel can play. I don't have time to give Frank Jackson minutes because if we lose, AD's leaving. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I agree with you to the extent. I think the expectations were high coming into the season too. So when those expectations high to kind of repeat what you did last year, you're going to play the main guys that brought you there last year. Obviously, Julius Randle was not part of it last year, and Rajon Rondo left. But the other main guys were here for New Orleans as far as they made that playoff push, and that was before Nikola Mirotic was traded. So if you look at talking about guys like Shaq Diallo, Jahlil Okafor, and Kenrich Williams, you're talking about trying to get minutes over Julius Randle, Anthony Davis, and Nikola Mirotic, who are going to eat up most of your minutes, but all of them playing over 30-plus minutes when they were all healthy. So it was more of just not having enough minutes. And, of course, we don't see what goes on in practice. We don't see how much these guys have developed throughout the season. They could have had bad practices where it didn't really deserve the playing time. Or the fact that, you know, it just was what it was as far as the lack of minutes that they were able to get. So I think part of it is what you discussed as far as the eggshells and kind of the situation that the Pelicans are in. And part of it was there just wasn't a lot of minutes for these guys. And, yes, you think, well, there could have been some if you would have seen how well they played. But we're just now figuring this out. And it's kind of hard. Sometimes it's hard to evaluate these guys just in practice. You need to see them in game time, you know, game situations. But if you're trying to compete and make the playoffs, how much are you really putting these guys in those situations? So it's kind of a catch-22 from that point. I just think when this team was healthy and when this team was, you know, really going for that playoff spot at the beginning of the season, that there wasn't just enough minutes for some of these big men that are now starting to get those.
Hey, Daniel, John Forkett here. My question and comment would be this is, you know, I'm looking at the scenario with AD beginning of the season when it started out. They lost Cousins. They lost Rondo. And we didn't know what team we were going to have here in New Orleans. And then all of a sudden we were in the position where we were playing well enough early. And it's a long year in the NBA. It's not like the NFL. And in the NBA, it's a long season. So basically it's sort of that middle of the season to the end is when you push yourself for a playoff bid earlier. You know, we can all sit there jockeying for position. Well, my take is this, and my question to you is, with the AD announcement that I don't want to play for the New Orleans Pelicans, next season or after my contract is up, I want to go and somewhere else. And then you got the Lakers saying, we want you out here. We want to give up 5 guys for you. How are the players on both teams are supposed to react and play to this if they're looking at these guys saying, wait a minute, one guy wants me out of here. That would be LeBron wants 5 guys out of here for one guy. Then you got one guy in New Orleans saying, I don't want to be here. And you got a coach, and then you got the league saying, no, you got to play this guy or you're going to get fined. What does Gentry do from a head coach standpoint playing his players and trying to get him in there? Granted, season's not over with. You're still trying to find out what do you have. What's your take on the scenario of what you see here with both these teams?
To put it simple, it's just been very awkward between both these teams, and it has shown, of course, the whole situation with whether AD plays, how much he plays, how long he's going to play, things to that nature. And now we've gotten to the point, well, he's going to play part of the first, second, third quarter, and now the fourth. It still is an interesting situation because when AD's on the floor, I mean, all the players for the Pelicans have said the right things as far as they're fine with AD. They understand, they're not frustrated with him, but when it's on the court, you can tell that the offense and the defense doesn't really look the same. I don't think they're really running many plays for AD, so I think it kind of stifles the offense a little bit from that extent, but you still got to go out there and have him play. But he's also been effective in some ways in the short amount of time. Some days he's had good games, and some games he had a really bad one in Orlando. On the other side, for the Los Angeles Lakers, I feel like you can just tell that these younger guys were a little hurt whenever LeBron came out and the rumors came out about the, you know, the package that was offered to the Pelicans. And you've seen it in the play now. They're 2 games under 500. They're without Lonzo Ball, but those other guys are still surrounding LeBron James. You can kind of tell the chemistry is not there. There are times where LeBron's frustrated, shows his interest, but then he's the one pointing blame at everyone else, some of these postgame calls. So I think it's affected both teams, and I think it's brought in a little bit of awkwardness, and you have 2 teams that are dealing with it in different ways. The Lakers still trying to find their way into the playoffs, and the Pelicans trying to get some of their young guys out there and limit 80 minutes.
Daniel Salerson, Pelicans Radio Network, going to call the game tonight with Sean Kelly over in Los Angeles. You know, I mean, you already know the different, obviously, storylines they're going to be going into it that have to do with AD, have to do with LeBron, have to do all this. I think what I'm saying is this, though, which is why I was referencing to Michael Wilbon, who says the Pelicans are irrelevant right now. I'm like, well, you see a team that's not trying to lose, so they are absolutely playing the role of spoiler. I mean, the Lakers are trying to get into the postseason. On this road trip that you guys are on during the Mardi Gras road trip, you're going to be playing some teams that, whether it's positioning, whether it's playoff opportunities, the Pels are absolutely relevant because they're not an out. In other words, where at least they haven't been playing, Daniel, where I think they're giving up. So they are relevant, and I think tonight, I think you see a competitive basketball game. LA's got to have this game. Right? And if you're the Pels, I think it's going to be of a competitive game.
Right, absolutely. The Pelicans are playing with nothing to lose here. I mean, yes, of course, you want to win every single game, and they are trying to win every single game. But if you get a loss tonight, you know, it is what it is. Same with the Philly game. You had a hard five game. You lost by one. Of course, you wanted to win. But you still like the way the Pelicans played as far as at the end of the game. They didn't play well in the first two quarters and a half. Mm-hmm. They still played really well in quarters three and four. And same with tonight. Again, you have these guys that are playing to win, and they're playing for something. And so that says something about this Pelicans team, and especially with everything going on. Of course, I think there's a little bit more incentive to beat the Lakers just for what, you know, what's at stake for them. If LeBron James possibly missing the playoffs for the first time in a very long time. And look, don't ask the Memphis Grizzlies about the same thing, who did it to the Los Angeles Lakers the other night. Some of these teams that are not making the playoffs are still going to go out there and compete. And I think the Pelicans have enough talent out there. You still have a Jrue Holiday, who's one of the best two-way players in the league. You still have Julius Randle, who's averaging a career high. You have Elfrid Payne-Plante, who's your best. So even though this team is looked upon as irrelevant, they still have great pieces around. Don't forget, AD's playing for 20 minutes, that they have enough pieces to compete in every single game they play in. It's going to be tough on the road. You face the Nuggets on the back-to-back. Utah is fighting for a playoff spot, playing really well. But it's never going to be I don't think any team looks at the Pelicans right now and says, oh, easy win.
Yep.
If they're fighting for a playoff spot, they said this is a game that they need to win and should win, but it's not going to be a game that the Pelicans just roll over and say, yeah, we're not supposed to win this game, so whatever. I think you will see that tonight, and you'll see that in the last 20 games, which is makes me excited for tonight and also for the rest of the games to watch and listen to.
D. Salerson's the way to follow you over on Twitter, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for joining us here from Los Angeles. And am I going to see any baby pictures at Mardi Gras?
No, my wife is going home since I will be gone for Mardi Gras. The family's going home, so she's still a little too young, but next year we're gearing her up.
I got you, man. Take care, buddy. Appreciate it. Be safe on the road trip. We'll see you when you get back.
Thanks, buddy. Anytime.
Yep, for sure. John Forcade, final segment. Dude, I know we're 3 hours ago. It goes by a little
bit. It does go quick, man.
Joey says not fast enough. I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
Joey kind of slipped me a note saying he's tired of seeing your face.
I think that's what it is. I'll be back in Metairie tomorrow.
And you got that face for radio.
Yes, at Old St. Kitchen and Tap on Friday. Thank you for that. We'll be back. El Comandante and Gus Kattengill next on Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't hang up. You need to hear this. You gotta quit wearing that aviator jacket. Nobody's buying it. I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but at Progressive, we're all about giving it to people straight. That's why we show our rates alongside our competitors' rates. And when you're helping people find great rates, you don't need some jacket to look cool. Just keep rocking that scarf.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that
that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
If you want your car or truck to get the best treatment there is, there's only one place to go on the bayou, and that's Raceland Auto Center. Your vehicle is one of your most trusted and valued assets. When it starts to give you trouble, you want to take it to a place you can trust. At Raceland Auto Center, there are no appointments necessary, honest, reliable mechanics, and faster service. They'll also give you the small-town prices that the dealerships can't. Raceland Auto Center, 3913 Highway 308, where repeat customers become family.
On The Sporting Life, Jeremy speaks with some of his favorite guests.
The film was pretty good, but it didn't rise up to the best docs. It didn't make me cry. It took the short route on a lot of the production.
Whenever boxing has an opportunity to shoot itself in the foot in terms of regaining its resonance with your average sports fan, it invariably shoots itself in the foot. And this is a real opportunity.
Download this and every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
John Forcade, Manny, perhaps letting us know why. So he's already talking about the AAF, huh?
Yeah, Johnny Manziel.
Well, maybe he's talking about the AAF because he knew he was about to get kicked out.
Well, there was a conversation brought up prior to this incident happened here. I think that that also weighed in and with the CFL. I think he was supposed to, you know, stay away from the AAF. That's kind of a deal. You know, when you sign with the CFL, you have to stick with them, stay with them, whatever the deal is, even I think after your release. It's some weird rule they got with the NFL. I don't know if the AAF is AALE has the same rule, but we'll get more stories on Johnny Manziel as the day goes on. You know that.
Yeah, there you go, up to Canada. Let's see.
Strong beer up there.
There was
too,
one though. Other thing, again, on LeBron, because I know you're interested on LeBron.
Yeah, I love LeBron.
PTI, you just heard.
Yep.
Wilbon and Kornheiser on the Pelicans. It's their take on LeBron.
Wilbon, yesterday you had the Lakers in the playoffs. Do you have them in today?
I don't know if I had them in yesterday.
Sure you did.
I don't think I did.
So did I.
I don't know what I have them today, and I sure as hell don't know about tomorrow. By the way, LeBron wasn't petulant. He gave a long and thoughtful and detailed answer to a question that started out, if the playoffs and the talk of it are a distraction, if. And LeBron said, if. They are.
Get out.
And by the way.
Get out.
If it's a distraction for the Los Angeles Lakers,
get
you
out.
Are in the wrong place.
That's
and
right.
LeBron's 100% right. But in the meantime, Tony, they lost another game they couldn't lose. I got home last night and I'm thinking, I said out loud, they're going to beat Memphis by 20.
You thought easily. Yes,
20.
Easily. Yes.
They were down 11 when I turned the game on. It was 61-50. I'm like, what the hell is this? Tony, teams are gleeful when they beat the Lakers. Joakim Noah, who has fought through a million injuries just to play in a game. He gets in these blocking shots last night. No one looked like it was the conference finals.
That around the horn.
The larger issue for LeBron is that he's been out for a quarter of the season. He comes back. He hasn't. This is a team that he doesn't have a ton of equity with. Like, he just got here. And he has a whole history in the NBA, and everybody respects that. But the other night I saw him saying, you guys don't know me. You know, Dave here, Dave McMenamin, he was with me in Cleveland. He knows this is how I am. And the fact that he has to still say that, he still has to reference what he did in Cleveland because he has not done enough yet in L.A. to be able to say things like he's been saying over the last couple of nights where he's calling his teammates out, challenging them. And at a time when he himself is still coming back from that groin injury and not really able to bring it on both sides of the court.
Woody Page, what did you hear from LeBron last night? What did you see from LeBron last night?
Well, I think he's talking to the entire team, not just one or two players, because he's not happy with that team. But he bought into this. He's the one that chose to go out there because of his entertainment enterprises. So you got to put up with this.
That's the thing that, and again, there's a lot more to that, John, but we're under a minute here. I think that's the whole thing about this. He chose to go there.
He did.
He chose. He could have gone to a lot. He could have gone to Philadelphia, mm-hmm. which would have been a way more better competitive team and had a lot more talent. Embiid, Simmons, all of it. They wanted him. He chose LA.
He went to LA for other reasons than basketball.
That's exactly right. Yeah, but it's easier to question everybody else's commitment to hoops. John, it's been fun, man.
I enjoy it always, man.
Sounds good. Thank you, Joey.
Thanks, Joey.
Matt Moscone, after further review, is up next. We'll see you at Vinny's tomorrow on ESPN New Orleans.